Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Zeitgeist Tapes. My name's Emma Burnell. I'm a journalist, political consultant, and playwright. And I am joined, as ever, by Emeritus Professor Stephen Fielding. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Emma. Hello, listener. And I apologise if my voice goes a bit croaky. My voice is going to go a bit croaky. I'm suffering from long laryngitis, I think is what we might call that.
Fair enough. Well, not fair enough, and I'm very sorry to hear it, but hopefully it's not too painful.
No, not really.
But it might mean I get a word in edgewise for once.
I'm nodding.
So this month, slightly later than scheduled, we are discussing the film Conclave. We would have done this when there was the actual conclave happening, but just give you a little peek behind the scenes, listener. I had a play on and was far too busy to do it then. And then Stephen went on holiday, which is really, frankly, unacceptable. But it is possible when you are an emeritus professor.
Indeed. And Andalusia, I can report, is bloody hot and very crowded, but with some very interesting things to look at.
I shall put it on my list, my ever-growing list. So yes, Conclave. Now, obviously, there is some obvious political parts to it because it is literally about an election. But it's also, a film very timely because we have just had a new pope elected, the first American pope, I believe. But also, the film has real political undertones in terms of the storylines captured within it. But it is a depiction essentially of an AV election and how that happens, endless rounds of voting, and the ups and downs that happen within that process to elect a new pope. It starts with the death of the old pope, which is always how a new pope is generally elected. Although I think one did recently retire.
Oh, the Nazi pope retired. Yes.
Yes, yeah. Ratzenberg. And one of the candidates that they were talking about this time around was Pizza Baller, who sadly was not elected pope, which I think is a real a loss to the world. But in this one, there are four main candidates and a fifth sort of surprise candidate. And each of them has their moment in the lead in the sun. And each of them falls away for various reasons. As always, listener, there will be spoilers in this discussion. So if you haven't watched the film yet, go away, watch it, then come back and see what we think of it, because we will spoil it for you otherwise.
Yes, so that's the whole point of, in fact, this podcast, to spoil everything for everybody that listens to it. But I mean,
I wouldn't put that on our marketing.
No, but, to be fair, we haven't really got a big marketing budget, so I don't think it really matters. But I would say, however, that apart from the... which we will spoil, apart from the twist at the end.
Yes.
It's entirely predictable. I mean, as soon as the outsider candidate, well, the outsider, the Mexican Bishop of Kabul turns up, the guy that has got, he's worked in all the hard places and everything, the sort of the Cardinal Smith, who's coming to the Vatican.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, very much like
last
very
up.
Like
I just
like
made
last
that up.
episode.
I didn't write that down to remember it. I made that up. Can I just repeat that again? Cardinal Smith comes to the Vatican. Goes to the Vatican. As soon as he turns up, I thought, I'm gone. I think I know he's going to win this. Because there's a liberal, there's a reactionary, there's a criminal, there's the outsider, and then there's Ralph Fiennes, his character, who is like the... I refuse to
I don't
call
want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Oh, wait, hang on.
Yeah.
I kind of want it.
Yeah, I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy. But he's a good guy. He's a good guy. But that's Ralph Fiennes. But I'm not a Catholic. I don't know. You're not a Catholic, are you? No.
No. Pure C of E here. Well,
right.
To be
Yes.
fair, not very C of E either, but
Oh,
that's how as I was brought up.
Same here. I might have written a PhD about Irish Catholics, but I'm not. The nearest I've got, I'm not Catholic. The nearest I have been to the Bishop of Salford's residence. I have been served tea and jammy dodgers by nuns while I was doing the research, but that's as close as I
I went to a
got.
Catholic funeral recently.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I was confirmed into the Church of England.
Yeah.
Had my first kiss in the vicarage. I hastened to up with the vicar's son, not the vicar. That would have been weird.
This is going off piece a little
But
bit here. This is going into
no,
all.
I'm not a Catholic. I've never worshipped in the Catholic Church.
No.
I've visited many, 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 many of them around Europe.
And I've just come back from Andalusia, where I've been looking at cathedrals, one of which was actually built upon a Muslim temple, you know.
Well,
Yes, in Cordoba. Anyway, so I mean, surprisingly, there have been a heck of a lot of films about Catholics and even Catholic detectives, because in a sense, this is an election film, but it's also a detective film.
yes.
And we have had quite a lot of Catholic detectives going all the way back to Cadfael, you know, maybe some of you remember, but also Father Brown, more famously, perhaps. Father Dowling, I mean, I've got a list written down here, you know. Tom Bosley played Father Dowling with
He did.
Sister Steve. There's The Name of the Rose. There's apparently over 30 films about nuns.
Good Lord.
Who knew that? Who knew that? Anyway, so why did Robert Harris? Because this is based on Robert Harris's 2016 novel. Why Robert Harris wrote it, only he knows, and why Netflix decided to make a film of it, apart from the fact that Robert Harris writes these unaccountably popular thrillers, which then are turned into
Yeah,
films.
Robert Harris isn't quite as blatant as Dan Brown. When you read a Dan Brown book, you feel like you're reading a film script. Robert Harris is a bit more subtle, but it's quite clearly made for TV, made for
Yes,
film.
increasingly so, I think. And so it wasn't really meant to time with the conclave, but then again, popes are quite old. They're popping off, you know, quite regularly. But so nonetheless, this film appears fortuitously for some at roughly the same time as the actual, you know, the former pope, the ex-pope, the no longer pope. He stopped squawking, popped his clocks, or poked his clocks, if
Oh
you want to.
dear.
It's,
Yeah,
I feel like I've taken some alcohol. I mean, it's all coming out now. You know,
listeners
really
should
like
know
buzzing.
that it's 10 a.m. on a bank holiday Monday.
Yes, I haven't taken any alcohol or any other forms of stimulant. So it came out at an interesting time. But I mean, it's got a great cast. I
Fantastic
mean,
cast.
it's got my favorite actor now, Gene Hackman's dead, John Lithgow. You can't go wrong. You apparently can't go wrong with John Lithgow. It's got Stanley Tucci, who's all right. He's quite good. And of course, Ralph Fiennes and Isabella
And
Rossellini.
Isabella Rossellini, absolutely.
Yes, but I mean, apart from Ralph, nobody really, you know, it's there was too, there was like too many characters, and they're not really developed. So they really waste. I mean,
Yeah,
John Lithgow
it's a
was amazing.
lot of kind of stereotypes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, you went through it when we were talking about the candidates. This is the bent one. This is the ambitious one. This is the, you know, the kind of more
Reactionary.
fundamentalist, reactionary.
Yes, the outsider. Yeah.
There was some interesting stuff about the differences in the church around the world.
Fairly basic, though, wasn't it? It
But
didn't
it
really.
was, yeah, it
The
was
only thing
paint
you
by
didn't know.
numbers stuff. It was stuff
Yes.
that, having never worshipped in the Catholic Church, I knew.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, when I was growing up, there were these Agatha Christie adaptations and films that were on TV, and I thought, oh, these sound oh, they're quite good, aren't they? And then when I actually read, you know, an Agatha Christie for work, I should hasten to add, I thought, these are crap. Aren't they? You know,
I love an Agatha Christie.
The characters are cardboard. The plots are very obvious. It's rubbish, right? But the adaptations make them look really good. And this, I think, it's got everything looks good. It's really nicely done. Got great actors, which is what they do in the adaptations for Agatha Christie. But the plot's just a bit duff. And everything about the film is to try and avoid you knowing what's going to happen already. Apart from the twist at the very end. That's the one thing, the twist at the very end.
So, shall we start with the twist at the end?
Yeah.
Because frankly, you didn't see it coming.
No. Who did? Nobody did.
Yeah, because it's 2025, and of course there's a sex and gender related plot line.
Although it's in the novel. I mean, I had to, and I thought, have they tacked on this ending just to go a bit, ooh. But in 2016, that was the exact same ending, which at the time might have been a little bit edgy. But this time, in 2025, it's a, oh, yeah, okay.
So
It's a surprise, but
the
in the
twist
end, it's not.
is that
That's
the
good.
man who is elected to be Pope in the end, who is this Vicar of Kabul, who was a secret he was a secret priest. He wasn't it wasn't known that
That he
he'd
was
been made
bishop.
the Bishop of
For his own
Kabul
safety,
for
wasn't
his
it?
own safety. And this is something that apparently is canon within the Catholic Church, that you can have this kind of cardinal. So he turns up and no one's expecting him. And the twist is that he is a person with a difference of sexual development, a DSD condition. So was born and always supposed to be a male, and then when he had some form of surgery later in life, it was discovered that he had a uterus.
Yes, although in the novel, for some reason, it's discovered after he has an operation when he's blown up by a bomb, by a terrorist bomb. But that's why they changed that, I've no idea.
I think possibly there are already so many plot lines, and you can kind of get away with that more in a novel than you can in a film. And the Ralph Fiennes
Well.
character, is it Ralph or Rafe? I'm never
I always
sure.
call him Ralph because it is Rafe. Yeah, but he's Ralph. Come
Right,
on.
okay. decides not to disclose this fact that the Pope is. It's so complicated with DSDs, and it is worth saying that a DSD condition is not the same as being transgender. That they are often conflated sometimes in the dialogue, the endless dialogue, but actually they're very, very different things. And were this Pope to be playing sports, it might be considered an issue, but as Pope, it's probably not.
How many times folks have played sports, netball,
Well, aren't there
rugby,
actually sort
Olympics?
of at least one Pope who kind of did, as a younger person, was actually quite a sporting,
Oh, it was the Polish Pope. He played football.
Yeah, that's
Level,
it.
that's true. No, absolutely correct.
So Ralph finds this guy decides finds this out. Ralph finds his job is, as you say, as the detective essentially. He goes around. He's supposed to be overseeing the election. He very much does not want to be elected. His position is overseer of the election. He has had his doubts over the church. And in fact, at one point, tried to resign to the previous pope, but the pope wouldn't let him. And so he's seen as the safe pair of hands who's going to oversee the whole election. And so he, there's one candidate out in front who is the African bishop, who is screwed over by one of the other candidates bringing a nun there who he had a previous sexual relationship with and a child with, I believe.
And a child, yes.
And he, this the African bishop is seen as a good man, but not a liberal man. He is the there are two sort of right wing candidates, the John Lithgow candidate and the African candidate, who the actor I don't know the name of, I'm afraid.
No, there's a, well, there's a reaction. There's a very reactionary Italian cardinal
Oh, that's
who's,
right. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. Benigni.
and the African can and the African cardinal is isn't very liberal, but he's African, right?
Yeah.
So that's why he's sort of seen to be a front. Well, he becomes a front
That's
runner.
right. Yes. Sorry. I'm getting John Lithgow and the
And
Italian
yeah, John Lithgow
confused.
is a criminal.
The Italian is very, very old school. Hell and damnation
He's
Catholic.
pretty old school, really, the way he's
Yeah.
put this. Yeah.
Very
And
much wants to go
absolutely.
back to the times when the Catholic Church was not liberalized, you know, up to
Absolutely.
and including talking about the changes that were made in the 60s to mass,
Yes.
of which I know nothing about except the Tom Lehrer song.
Yes, and I don't know that, and maybe our listener does, but essentially he wanted to go back to Latin and to certainty and to centrality, centralization. But against him there is a liberal. So you got
Against him, there is the liberal who is the Stanley Tucci character, who is very much, American metropolitan liberal elite type.
And he says I don't want it, but he really does.
He really
He
does. They,
very
yeah,
committed, very,
they,
very, really
all of
does.
them really, really want it. Except for Ralph Fiennes, who really doesn't want it until it looks like he might get it, at which point he does reveal that he has thought about what his Pope name would be.
Yes, and the Bishop of Kabul, of course, the one that actually gets it. I mean, he doesn't even think he's not even a possibility. It's only right at the end that the all well that he wins and
So
you have.
basically, in your classic AV election, one of the things I sent to you. It's kind of AV. It's AV done in stages.
You've got to get two-thirds
You've got
majority.
to get a two-thirds majority, and there are several rounds of voting.
But
And
you
the
do.
character who comes through is nobody's first choice. Classic AV, which is why I voted against AV.
Yeah, but except it's an exhaustive ballot until you
It's
get
an
to.
exhaustive
I'm
ballot.
sounding
You get
a bit of a pedant here, but it's an
it's a
exhaustive.
mushy middle. You end up with the least worst option. Classic AV.
Except with the Bishop of Kabul, Cardinal of Kabul, you get the best result. I mean, at the end of the whole thing, that's the one we're all meant to want.
It
That's
is
what we're
absolutely the
for.
one we're all supposed to be rooting for.
Yes.
And to be, yeah, I mean, he is such a sort of mystical character. You know nothing about him, other than his genetic makeup.
Well, you know that at the end. You just know he's a good person.
You, I mean,
He's
he's, you know,
dangerous places.
he's ministered in dangerous places. But whereas you find out about the sexual peccadilloes of the African bishop, which was sexual peccadilloes, it should be said, from 30 years previous. You find out that the John Lithgow character is corrupt.
Yeah, he bought votes. He actually bought
He
votes, didn't
bought
he?
votes.
Yes.
You find out what brings the Stanley Tucci character down?
Stanley Tucci is not really brought down by himself, but he is revealed to be. He isn't the, oh, I don't really want it. I don't really want it. He is like really committed to wanting it. He wants to have conflict. This is against the liberals versus the
Yeah.
reactionaries. We have to win. And in the end, he decides he's going to throw in his lot with the flawed criminal John Lithgow character, because he knows he can't win. So they have to stop the reactionary cardinal, and it's implied that he only really backs him, John Lithgow, even though he knows he's a criminal, because he's going to get a big job when he is made Pope. So he's flawed. He might be a liberal, but he's flawed because, if I was a Catholic, I don't know how I would react to this, because all the cardinals, apart from very small numbers that are revealed that actually have anything to say, are pretty venal people, self-interested, ambitious, ideological, pretty nasty in some cases. And there's only a small number that are really nice, and actually have the interests of, the inst not so much the institution, but actually what we would imagine a spiritual person might have, in terms of religion and how it might sort of manifest itself in the outside world. Or I mean, this is really It's about politics, but the setting is a Catholic church.
Yeah.
It's almost incidental, this about the Catholic Church. I mean, there's a quote, not well, the Ralph Fiennes character says, just in case you haven't, if you've missed this bit, he says, "Ooh, I feel like I'm at an American convention." No shit, right? No. So it's
Well,
all
and that's because what you've got here is a Sub Sorkin-esque
very sad.
plotting
Very
as
sad.
with art decoration by Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, it's a nice look. I mean, not that the West Wing wasn't nice to look at, but it's especially nice to look at. So it's all pretty obvious what's going on. I mean, there's a much better thing that the Abbess of Crewe, that was a film based on a Murray Spark novel, which is, I think, some people see as a kind of, because it was made in 1974, a kind of a reflection on Watergate and paranoia. And that's a far better use of the Catholic Church as a kind of a way of looking at politics than this piece of obvious writing and filmmaking, I think. But you know, it's done for a certain kind of audience. And Robert Harris isn't going broke anytime soon on the basis of all of this. So
No, it's your classic mid-market page turner, of which I'm not complaining. I read a lot of classic mid-market page turning books. I haven't read a lot of Robert Harris. It's not my cup of tea, but
I've
I
read more.
get why it's popular. I mean, I found the film. I wanted to find it more compelling than I did. Like everything in it was pushing me to find it compelling, and yet it was so paint by numbers that it failed. Every time there was a dramatic moment, it was so signposted that I just felt like, stop manipulating me. I know it's a dramatic moment coming,
No, it was 2 hours that went quite easily,
Yeah.
but it was like, you know, you get a tube of Pringles and you can't stop eating it, and then at the end, you know, you've gone through the whole big tube and you're feeling disappointed with yourself, really.
Yeah, and I it was it was watchable. It wasn't memorable.
No. I'm surprised you haven't said anything about gender being well, the more famous feminist of the pair of us, because it's kind of like implied. And at the very end, I know there's an end about with the turtles, but at the very end, when the Ralph Fiennes character looks out the window and there are these nuns coming out and they're all giggling after the election of the Mexican Pope, and Isabella Rossellini, you know, she's there. She's only about three words. She didn't say
Yeah.
very much.
No, she has a sort of pivotal plot role in some of the revelations, and she's clearly sort of, oh God, we've got to get a woman. So let's crowbar this character into as many scenes as humanly possible, whilst also, as you say, not giving her an awful lot of lines. And it wasn't until about halfway through the film and she spoke, I went, oh fuck, that's Isabella Rossellini.
It doesn't really deal with the gender issue at all in any sense, apart from the very end, and that's kind of like a bit ironic. I mean, I don't know beyond that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we're meant to think about
It doesn't. There's very little. I mean, there's more discussion of homosexuality in the Catholic Church than there is the role of women in the Catholic Church.
that.
But they're both kind of touched upon as these are the issues we're going to fight about. There's a whole bomb plot, which is almost entirely there in order to make it seem like the right-wing Italian reactionary is going to win.
Yes, because he comes out with some anti-Muslim
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, culture war stuff,
Culture
actually.
war, absolutely. The Muslims are our enemy stuff. But yeah, I mean, the reason I don't think, oh gosh, I'm going to go on a feminist rant about this. It's a film about the Catholic Church. It's like, of course, it's you know, it's sort of taken as read it's going to be majority male.
Yes, but nothing's really made of that in the actual film novel. It's just there, and you meant, I think you're meant to go, ooh, there's a lot of what middle-aged men, and there's nurses. No, why I keep calling them nurses? Oh, because my dad's in hospital. Well, there's lots of nuns, and all they're doing is is doing the cooking. That's kind of like there it is, and nothing is really made of that at all. It's not. I mean, apart from the fact that virtually all the cardinals are venal, arrogant careerists, it's not really that critical of the Catholic Church,
No.
really. There's nothing about child abuses. I mean, it really is like an Agatha Christie, updated with a bit more politics. And it's a detective, in some ways, a detective drama with a bit of a twist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the final thing that I wanted to touch on, not least because it's one of the few things about which I know more than you, is the final image. What did you make of the final image of the film, which is of the Ralph Fiennes character, who is the slow. You do make this fun to edit, Steve. You really do. The kind of the slow plodding character lifts up or spots and interacts with a tortoise,
It's a turtle, not a
a
tortoise.
turtle.
Because otherwise, he's just drowned the thing. He puts it into a pool,
That
doesn't
is true. Yes.
he?
But now he's in the Vatican, right?
Yeah.
I've been to the Vatican twice.
Yeah.
I don't remember an awful lot of turtles wandering around.
No, but apparently the dead pope like turtles. I mean, that's said in.
Ah, okay, so that's what
But
set that up.
that's the only explanation. But why? Why? I don't know what the point of the turtles is. Was it a metaphor for something?
Well, so I've looked this up.
Okay.
There isn't an awful lot of tortoises are not revered animals. Tortoises and
Turtles.
turtles are
Okay.
not revered animals in Christian mythology. But they are sort of given the kind of careful progress, longevity, going back to Aesop, the turtle and the hare, the tortoise and the hare, whichever. So that's their kind of role in life. Now, the reason I found it particularly interesting is that one of my favorite non-Ankh-Morpork Terry Pratchett novels is Small Gods, which is all about religion and is frankly far, far more interesting and complex than Conclave, and well worth reading if anyone hasn't. And in that, the basic mythology is that gods grow and diminish in stature according to the level of belief that they have, like genuine belief. And there is a religious community in this, hugely powerful, but their god, is reduced to the size of a tortoise, a turtle, I can't remember which, because actually nobody believes in him anymore. And only one person still does, and he finds his one believer. As the tortoise, and they eventually, there is a, it's very, very, and his one believer is just the most simplistic, simpleton guy. And I thought that this was interesting if you know the Pratchett and then come to Conclave, because I think that that was what the Rafe Ralph, I'm going to
Ralph.
beat you to it, character was symbolizing, is that one guy with faith in God, if not in the church.
Well, this is intertextuality, listener, taken to a PhD level. So I hope you've
Sadly,
appreciated
I've only got a master's.
all of this extra meaning to what is, frankly, a very banal film. Maybe a level of analysis which it certainly does not deserve. But in contrast to that, and I'll make this very short, the one thing I was actually impressed by the film was that the characters who were all middle-aged or older, when they had to read something, put glasses on. Now,
Yes.
in many other things, you got all these characters, and they're just reading something. Hang on a minute, You need glasses, really,
Yeah,
don't you?
yeah.
But in there here, the one level of reality that the film did have was the older characters needed to put their glasses on to read screens and read stuff.
Well,
I'm
glasses seem
impressed
to be
by
quite
that.
an important symbol because there's a
Oh,
whole bit where
specifically.
Ralph Fiennes goes into the old Pope's room, which he's not supposed to do. And there's
Right.
quite a long lingering shot of the Pope's eyeglasses
Glasses.
on the
Yes, that's
on the
true.
bedside table.
Well, you know, what will that mean? Do we have the time to discuss it? Shall we leave that for our
I think we
listeners?
should leave that for our listeners to let us know what they think it means.
I think so too.
So thank you very much. I mean, a conclave, would you recommend it?
I would not
I mean,
recommend it.
watchable. I would not recommend it. I wouldn't say, oh God, that's awful, never watch that. But
No.
I would also say, you know, it is what it is.
If you're tired, you don't want anything challenging, you'll want to look at some nice scenery. You're thinking of going to the Vatican anyway, so you want to check it out. Why not watch this?
It's a mass markets idea of a clever film.
Yes, well put. Well put. Yes, I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you so much as always, Steve. We will be back in about a month's time, depending on plays and holidays and life.
Yeah.
But for now, thank you so much, Professor Emeritus Stephen Fielding.
Well,
I've
thank
been
you.
Emma Burnell, and this has been a Political Human production. Please, please remember to rate and review us on wherever you're listening to this, because it does help us find more listeners. And thank you to Lord Stuart Wood of Anfield for our theme tune.